Deuteronomy chapter 33, and we'll read responsively through verse 29. I'll read verse 25, and then you read with me verse 26, and so on. Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 25. Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 25. Isn't that a wonderful sound, Bible pages turning? Isn't that wonderful? Deuteronomy 33:25. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And let's pray together. Father, this isn't my word, this is yours. These aren't my people, these are yours. And this isn't my church, this is yours. And so, Father, would you please, I pray, would you help me as I preach this morning? What a wonderful truth, what a wonderful God. And Lord, help us not to miss. And help us miss the truth, and Lord, help us not to leave here the same way we came. Seems like that'd be such a waste. Please, work in our hearts this morning, and thank you that we can trust your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. This passage is so rich for you as a child of God. I hope you take it home today and you chew on it all week long. All right? I know that this verse, it says at the end of it, it's to Jacob, or the nation of Israel. But let me just remind you of something this morning. I don't know that we have any full-blooded Jews with us this morning, but I think all of us are Gentiles, all right? And I love this. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, did you know that you're the spiritual seed of Abraham? You're a spiritual Jew. You understand? In other words, you say, well, that's for Israel. Yeah, I know, but spiritually it's mine if I'm saved. Spiritually it's mine. Colossians 3 verse 10 says, and have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. If I just remind you of one more verse, Galatians chapter 3 says, for ye are all, this is if you're saved, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And then it says in verse 29 of Galatians, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So you say, well, that's a passage for Israel. I know, but wait a second. If you're saved, it's a passage for you. All right? Spiritually, I can apply this. You see, God tells us in this passage that he's so near us and he's ready to help. He's over us with his divine power. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. And in verse 26 it says, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help. Where's the heaven? That's up above. God says here, his presence is above me. It's above me and it's above you. Listen close. We who trust in the Lord are always safe. He is over us with his divine power. Now as I read this verse again, Deuteronomy chapter 33, then just like he is above us, ready to help us, so our Bible verse says he's underneath us with everlasting arms to catch us. Look at this, Deuteronomy 33:26. I know we read it, but it says there's none like unto the God of Jeshurun who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, And then verse 27 says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So he's above. He's below. Then would you please look at verse number 27. I love this. He's also this morning in front of you. Look at verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Look at this next phrase. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. How does he do that? He's already there. Thank God for the forerunner. Thank God for he's the one that knows tomorrow. And because he's already there, he already knows what I'm going to face tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I know he's already there. Amen. He's the one that's before me. He's above me this morning. What a comforting passage of Scripture. He's above me, underneath me, and in front of me. What a God. What a God. Then, you see, we have this morning, if you're saved, you have a very personal God who surrounds you. Not only with His presence, but also with His mighty love. He's above, beneath, before. He's all around, and He never forsakes us. You see, in Acts 17, I love this. Just think about it. And I didn't want you turning because just listen. Though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. What a God. In him we live and move. He's right there. Our God is nigh unto us. Watch this. This morning, I just wanted to tell you, you have a very personal God as your Savior. You see, I want you to see first that the most dangerous direction that we think is secured from danger. Where is that? I remember, I know as they people get older, they fear falling. They fear what? Falling down. They fear something's going to break. They fear somebody's not going to be there to help them. But down is a dangerous direction. And it says underneath are the everlasting arms. Watch this. So, you see, so many Christians. Well, first of all, to oversimplify a statement, heaven is up and hell is down. Okay, I think there's more to it than that, but I believe the truth that's there. You see, because we talk of the evil underworld of spirits. So many Christians are attacked and vexed by Satan, but they don't know it's him. They're like, what's going on? What's that? Well, there's a real devil. You have a real enemy that's out to destroy you. You have a real enemy that you can't see that's trying to destroy your children, trying to destroy your marriage, trying to destroy your home. You have a real enemy. What's going on? You have a real enemy. And so many Christians, I know when they're under the attack of Satan, they don't realize that it's Satan that's fighting them. Why is this happening? What's going on? It's the devil. It's the devil. He's a real enemy. And I've watched, you say, why would you say that, Pastor? Because I've watched a lot of Christians in the battle forget that it was Satan that was attacking them. So many Christians don't understand Satan's attacks, so they blame themselves instead of the devil. You see, Satan has a twofold work. His first work has always been deception. His next work is accusation. He's the one that accuseth the brethren. Satan uses deception or getting you to think something that's not true. I'm not here to bash any other religion this morning, but a Jehovah's Witness that doesn't believe Jesus is God is deceived. They're going to die and go to hell if they don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, who is God Almighty come in the flesh. You cannot be saved. In other words, I feel sorry for the deception that is out there. All religions aren't good. All churches don't teach the same thing. But if you say, well, why? How come there's so many churches? Because the devil is a deceiver. He's a master at it. He's been doing it a long time. So his first work is deception. He'll get you thinking something that isn't true. He'll put up a smoke screen that isn't there. You'll think it's there, but that's his master. He's the lion that roars, that you can't see, but you hear, roar, and then you what? What's his main goal? To get you to run in fear. It's going to get me. So the devil deceives us, and then what does the devil do? His next job is to accuse the brethren. He uses accusation. to sow discord between Christians and the Lord. You see, Satan has fiery darts from his own hand that he throws. False accusations and disgusting insinuations which come only from him as he uses the world and works through the flesh. Yes, below is the pit of hell with Satan and his devils. But our text tells us, glory to God, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. In that dangerous direction, in that direction where my biggest problems come from, Satan, where my attacks come from, glory to God, he's there, and underneath his arms are ready to catch me. What a God! What a God! Let me remind you this. You see, against the vicious and deadly attacks of this foe, Christian, God has set a shield. God puts underneath you his everlasting arms. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation able also make a way for you to escape that you may be able to bear it. Let me remind you this morning. Underneath are his everlasting arms. When Satan was allowed to tempt and afflict Job, the Lord drew a line and said, you may come to this line and no further. God drew the line. Just like he stops the waters on the ocean, they go no further than God decrees. It's called the firmament. It's called the separation. And just like those waters can't cross God's line, guess what? Satan can't cross God's line. You can tempt him, you can afflict him, but you will go no further. Glory to God. You know why? Because underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath means the spirit world. But it also is talking about where we live and where we work as we journey through this wilderness. Some of you see the daily toil and the poverty and the trials and the temptations of the daily grind only through physical eyes, and then you start losing hope. Underneath, here, yes, in the direction below us, but while we're here below and not in heaven, while we live in this world, underneath are the everlasting arms. I wish you would see this world through spiritual eyes and see his arms are always ready. Look, the God who made you will carry you. What a God! The one who loves you will bear you all the way. You're not here alone. Underneath applies to the spirit world. Underneath applies to while we live in this earth. Underneath can apply also to the downhill slopes of life as you get older and you start the descent down the hill of your life as you can grow. Did you know you can grow old gracefully? I know getting old isn't for wimps. Amen? I love that statement. Things start to happen that are just downright awful. I mean, the piano wire starts coming out of your ears and everything else. Man, all I used to need was a trimmer. Now I need stinking wire cutters. You know what I mean? How come nobody told me about this? I know that. Getting old isn't for wimps. But listen closely. I said that to you this morning. As you get older and you start down that descent, to descend into the valley of humiliation as you go through the transitions of life are very trying to human nature. Our text is very sweet this morning. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. When you're going through the descent, aren't you glad you can't go any lower than his arms? Unless the Lord speedily returns, think with me, unless the Lord speedily returns, you're going to have to come down very low to die. But praise the Lord, even then, underneath will be the everlasting arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. That's how come the Apostle Paul could say, to die is what? Gain. Well, he wasn't suicidal. He wasn't, oh God, take me home. He said, but if I get to pass from this world, he said, to die is gain. How? Only a Christian talks that way. Only a child of God can say that. You see, when death comes, your body is low in the grave, But if you're saved, you can't go any lower. Amen. If you're saved, you can't go any lower. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath, it can apply to our times of doubt about ourselves. We're told to examine ourselves. I find in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. So God told me, take a spiritual look at myself. And in my examination, when I see my faults and my failures, if you aren't careful, child of God, you're going to quit. God didn't say examine yourself so you can get discouraged about all your faults and shortcomings. God said examine yourself so that you can have an area of your life to work on. I used to tell the teenagers, you don't work on your whole life at once. You pick one area and you work on your life. But you can't fix everything, so you pick one area. You don't work on the whole thing. If you do, you'll get discouraged. Oh, I can't live the Christian life. No, you can. If you'll take it one step at a time. And underneath, as I examine myself, as I find my shortcomings and things that are wrong with me, I find that there are the everlasting arms. Aren't you glad 1 John 3:20 says this morning, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. You say, I'm finding myself weak spiritually. You say, I'm failing in this certain area. All I'll tell you this morning, Christian, don't quit. You know why? Because underneath are the everlasting arms. He's there to carry you. He's there to help you. Underneath are the everlasting arms. This morning, I've applied the word underneath to the spirit world, our downward descent, our trials, our life here. I think it could also mean apply it to our hard times, underneath. When things appear to be at the very worst, according to our limited judgment, where there's an affliction. You know what the word affliction means? Look it up sometime in your Bible. An affliction is a long-term suffering. In our affliction, when it just goes on, and it's what you think about at night when you go to bed, and you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it, and you get up in the morning, and it's the first thing you think about, and every time your mind is free to think, that's where it goes. In our affliction, underneath are the everlasting arms. In our hurts and pains, when you can't understand what the Lord's doing, can I just tell you, He loves you this morning, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The Lord never ceases to care for us. Even when things are at their worst, if I could testify and just let you know this morning that in the life's hottest of fires, and in its deepest waters, I can tell you I've never been burned, and glory to God, I've never drowned. Amen. When Thou passest through the waters, I will be with Thee. And I'll just testify to you this morning. I've never drowned and I've never been burned. What a God we serve. Do you know why? Underneath are the everlasting arms. Now I want you to just think about, just this morning, we've looked at underneath. Underneath are the everlasting arms. I want us to think now about those everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Because the everlasting arms are there, then child of God, listen, that means eternal safety is secure. Do you know why? Because that's God Himself. Those are His arms. They're close to us. What a God. This strengthens my faith because God's with me. When you say, I'm here all alone, I don't think you always count God as being with you. I think that's an unfair statement. I have to do this all alone. Did you forget about the one who lives inside of you if you're saved? No, you're not going through anything alone if you're saved. Because His everlasting arms are the ones that's holding you up. No, you don't have to go through it alone. Since you've been saved, you haven't done anything alone. He's been with you all the time. God Himself is underneath, because He who made the heavens and the earth cannot forsake those who love and trust Him. Because God is there, He hears your prayers and the cries of His people. Because the everlasting arms are there, this means there's a strength that never fails. Deep down, underneath, even though you can't see it, there's the divine power of the eternal Godhead always at work for you. You can say with confidence this morning, you know what? At the bottom of everything that happens to me, God's eternal power and purposes are working it out. Amen. Why? Because the eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath, child of God, are the arms, everlasting arms that hold you up. Everlasting strength. You can, Romans 8:28. That's how come I can say as a Christian this morning, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And child of God, if I could just get you, encourage you this morning, when you don't know why something's happening, if you'll just do this, we know all things work together for good, then look to God and say, okay, I'm going to love You and You take care of the details. What a God! God says when you don't understand what's going on, when you can't even add one plus one because the sound of the battle is so loud, then God says, you love Me and I'll work all the details out. Let Me handle it. And you watch, God says, I'll make everything that happened work out for good if you'll let Me work. What a God we serve this morning. I'm just here to encourage you because the everlasting arms are underneath. Child of God, that means the Lord can bear your load with patience and endurance, with an endurance that is inexhaustible because it's God Almighty. The eternal God is our refuge. This means if you trusted Him to save your never-dying eternal soul, then you can trust Him to carry your load. You can trust Him instead of worry. What are you worried about this morning? What's your heaviest burden? What do you feel like is crushing you this morning? Can I just tell you, you know when we make a mistake? We'll say, come to the altar and give it to the Lord. But we don't. We go to the Lord and we talk about it. But we never give it to Him. Well, no, Lord, you know, I don't understand this. And I go, give it to Him. Amen. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And we go, and watch this. Some Christians, I watch, go to their prayer closet and they leave their prayer closet more nervous than when they went in. Because they didn't give anything to God. All they did was they went in there and talked themselves into a frenzy. Have you ever seen that? And they'll do it. They'll go on through. Now, Lord, you know, this happened and this happened. God already knows. Give it to Him. How come you're rehashing it before the Lord? What are you going to tell Him He doesn't already know? Then give it to Him. And let the everlasting arms carry it. Versus, oh, yeah, I prayed about it. Pastor said, pray about it. I'm just a nervous wreck. I think I need, you know, smoking marijuana is supposed to be legal in D.C. I think I'm going to go to the bell. I'm just kidding. I believe that's wrong. Do you understand whether it's legal or not? I'm just trying to see if you were listening. All right, here we go. God's everlasting arms will never fail. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Not one of His promises can fall to the ground, because God Himself is underneath you. There is peace to know He'll carry you through. Now let me just give you some final thoughts on why this is so precious. Deuteronomy 32:27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. When you're sick and extremely weak and you feel like you're sinking, you try to rise and you can't get up, I'd just like to remind you this morning, the eternal God is thy refuge. This verse has such comfort to a child of God, and underneath are the everlasting arms. When you feel that you're so weak that there's nothing left, then God's omnipotence and His power upholding strength is felt. When you feel there's nothing left, Then God comes in with all of His fullness and He bears us. You say, I don't understand it. I'm telling you, underneath are the everlasting arms. The 24 or 48 hour flu is bad enough. But when it's long-lasting sickness and ailment, then please know this morning, underneath are the everlasting arms. The sweetest songs in that hymn book were penned when the person was heartbroken, afflicted, or behind bars. That's why we don't go for the... That's why we want the old songs. Most, not all, most of the songs in the hymn book were penned through pain. As the man watched his house burn. As a man, for the third time, watched his wife die. What a friend we have in Jesus. And probably one of the most famous poems that circled the globe. It was written through pain. The sweetest songs in the songbook were written through suffering and heartache. Do you know why? God gave them a song because underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. When I read the sufferings of our Baptist forefathers, it appears that the most wonderful joys that were ever felt by any mortal heart has been felt by men who the next day they were to be burned at the stake. Sentenced to die for standing for the Lord, and yet some of the most sweetest hymns and poetry that you could ever read, and the most holy thoughts came through suffering. Do you know why? Because the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. A child of God, I hope you don't miss this, a child of God can be happy without happy circumstances. A child of God, if you're saved, can be happy without happy circumstances. And a Christian can sing like a bird in the darkest of nights. Amen. Why? Because He gives songs in the night. In the suffering and in the pain. I'll never forget watching somebody in our church. When we were in Tennessee, the Down syndrome baby was born. She wasn't expecting it. They didn't say your baby is going to be born with a birth defect. And I'll never forget when she came to church and they got out of the car for the first time. And she just said, "This is my baby." And how the mongoloid look and things aren't right. And I remember I watched that husband. And I said, "He's going through it right now because he's got to trust God." I'm watching him. I watched every move he made in the church. Because I said, in the valley, when he's suffering and when his heart's broken, that man isn't quitting on God. I'm watching him. He's got the power of God on his life. And he did too. Kept on going soul winning. Didn't get angry at God and quit church. In the valley, underneath, are the everlasting arms. This verse is precious. When we can no longer stand, it's such a privilege to be able to fall into those everlasting arms. And you say, "Daddy, I can't take it anymore. I'm so tired." And God says, "Go ahead and let go. I'll catch you. Because underneath are the everlasting arms." When you're fearful and you're scared, as a Sunday school teacher, or you say, "I'm scared as a soul winner," or you say, "I feel so close to failure as a bus worker," can I just encourage you this morning, underneath of the everlasting arms, God's Word tells us the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And when the Lord called you, you wanted something encouraging this morning? Amen? I'm trying to encourage you. But I'll tell you something else. God called you when He knew of all your shortcomings. And He never changed His mind when you failed. He never said, "I knew He was going to blow it." He already knew you were going to blow it. So don't quit. He knew of your failures before you said, "Okay, Lord, what do You want me to do?" The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He never changes His mind. In spite, glory to God, in spite of our failures. In spite of our shortcomings. He says, that's why we look up. We say, God, drop the ball again. And God says, I done changed my mind. I'm still glad I saved you and made you my child. I'm still glad. You say, how does He do that? Underneath are the everlasting arms. You say, can the Lord use me this morning? Yes, He can. You see, our boldness and our service for the Lord comes from His strength. Our confidence comes from the Word of God, that He is our refuge. I don't care how strong you think your character and your discipline are. There's going to come a moment in your journey of faith when the Lord, when you will find that all of your earthly comforts are going to fail you. It comes to every child of God. And friends aren't going to be able to help you. And your heart and your flesh is going to fail. It is in that time, can I tell you, Christian, underneath are the everlasting arms. And He'll never fail you. Sometimes the Lord has ways of bringing us to points where all we can trust is Him. So how come everybody's leaving me? It was lonely at the cross. They all left. You would have thought there had at least been 12 there. It got real lonely. And it comes to every child of God. Don't quit. Underneath are the everlasting arms. May I just tell you this morning, if you're lost, John 3:18 says, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Can I just tell you this morning, if you're lost, hell is below. You are hanging on to your good works and everything that you can do. And if you don't let go and stop trusting your good deeds and your efforts, you're going to burn in hell. If you'll just let go of your good works and what you can do and your goodness and fall into the arms of Jesus with the nail-pierced hands, He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. I'll just tell you this morning, he that believeth on me, Jesus said, hath everlasting life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. If you'll just this morning, if you're lost, let go of your good works. It's not your baptism, it's not your church membership, and it's not how good you think you are. Let it go. And underneath is salvation in the everlasting arms. Eternal strength and salvation. If you're lost this morning, please, underneath are the everlasting arms. Christian, the eternal God is thy refuge. What a God we serve this morning. Let's pray. Father, please, I ask that, Lord, you would use the truth, please, so we can trust you more. You're worthy of our trust, and we trust you so little.